God and for the things of God. This week, I'm going to carry on that theme about becoming a church that heaven notices, that heaven takes note of. But this week, I want to talk to you about another trait that I believe that makes heaven notice. And that characteristic is that the church has to know who she is. She has to know her identity. What does Scripture say about the identity of the church? It says it's the bride of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, 25 through 27 says, "Husband, love your wives." Everybody say amen. "As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish." This whole idea of the bride of Christ is throughout, specifically the New Testament, and how God is working on us and in us and through us to purify us and cleanse us, so that when we're presented to Christ on that day, that we will stand there beautiful, unblemished, spotless, holy, sanctified, set apart for special reasons and missions is the church. Scripture also says that we as a church are to be soldiers of Christ. A completely different metaphor here. Soldiers of Christ. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 3 through 4, it says, "Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer." Following orders. But not just following orders to attain victory. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it describes the church as a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people belonging to God. You see, it doesn't matter which metaphor you use or which one you like best. It doesn't matter. They all point to the same thing. The church is loved. The church is chosen. The church is empowered by God and set apart for service. That's our identity. That's who we are. What we do as a church matters. Do y'all believe that? Do y'all believe that what we do as a church matters and it makes a difference? Okay. Well, more important than what we do, however, is how we do it. I have a video clip that I want to show you that I ran across this week. This clip is of a Christian comedian, and he does this stand-up comedy, and then in the middle of his routine or whatever, he always just has a thing he calls break time, and he just kind of visits with the congregation, and sometimes something really incredible happens and whatnot. And this time, I'm going to let it play, and you just listen to this clip.
Well, what do you do for a living, Daryl?
I work at Oak Ridge Military Academy. I'm the music director there.
Musical director at Oak Ridge Musical Grand. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. You got a deep voice, man. I would not want to get you mad. Jonathan, come here. You're like, oh, snap. 9 Jonathan show up. It's amazing, dude. So you're a musical director. Cool.
Yes, sir.
All right, so Let me get a couple bars of like Amazing Grace. Can you do the first part of that? Let me hear. We didn't plan this. Just so y'all know, we didn't plan this at all. I'm just randomly talking. Go ahead.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
That bro could sing. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Now, what you give me the version is if your uncle just got out of jail, you got shot in the back when you was a kid, I'm just saying, let me see the hood version real quick. If you know which version I'm talking about, just see if that exists. Let me see what you got.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
This guy sang the same song twice. Same words, but it had a different effect. It had a different meaning the second time. Why is that? Well, it was how he did it that made the difference. It wasn't what he was singing, because he was singing the same thing. It was how he did it that made the difference. It was because the guy on the stage told him to sing it with a story in mind. He told him why to sing. We as a church, we can do and we can do and we can do. But until we understand why we do what we do, what we do will never have a real effect. And we'll never understand why we do it. You know, music is a very easy example or illustration to use in this. Because there's words, there's music, and then there's emotions and whatnot behind those things. And I would just encourage you, this may seem counterintuitive. It may seem like I'm encouraging you to not participate. It may sound kind of contradictory, okay? But let me tell you something. When we sing, when we worship, when we praise God, folks, if you don't mean it, don't sing it. But if you do mean it, you ought to sing it like you mean it. Amen. Got three people that are happy about that. Let me do it. If you mean it, you ought to sing it like you mean it. Okay. The same is true with life. If you want to live for the Lord, if you don't want to live for the Lord, then don't, because you're confusing a lot of people when you say you are. If you don't want to, then don't. And you'll have to deal with the Lord on that, okay? But if you do, if you want to, folks, you ought to live it like you mean it. You ought to. You see, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And how you do it speaks volumes. But you can't know how you do it until you understand why you do it. And why you do it is because you got to understand who you are. You are a child of the living God. He has adopted us into His family, made us His very own children. Why? Because He loves us. Amen. He created us because He said, I want fellowship. He had all the angels. He said, I want something different. I want something special, so I'm going to make mankind. I'm going to make them so special after my own image. The angels can't say that. You're special. You're loved by God. You're created by God, and you're created for God. That is your identity. I'm not just talking about how we sing. Don't misunderstand me there. Although I truly believe that if we really understood why we sing what we sing, it would certainly affect how we sing what we sing. I do. But I'm also talking about how we pray. how we pray. We pray with fervor, with conviction, with belief. Sometimes we pray with words that we can't even make the words out. I'm talking about how we give. How we give of tithes and offerings that we're just taking up. How we give of ourselves. How we give of service. How we give to people in need. How we give just not expecting anything in return just because we have it so we can give it. That's why God blessed us with it in the first place. To be a blessing to someone else. I'm talking about how we minister to people. I told you about how when I stopped by Williams O'Neill's room the other day to pray with him. He had the oxygen mask on, all that. Couldn't talk because of all the air stuff being forced into his lungs and all that. And I went there to be a blessing to them and to honor them and to minister to them and pray for them. And William started motioning like this. I think it was Sunday night group. Wednesday night. Okay, so some of you may have not heard this. He did like this. And so Joyce said, "You want pen and paper?" He shook his head, "Yes." So she got him pen and paper. And he scribbled on this paper, "I want to pray over Brother Mike, but it will have to be silent." You see, I went to pray for him. But his mind was, "Oh no, you got a lot on your plate, brother." He was thinking, "You got your dad fixing to go into the hospital. You got all this other stuff, your family, what not to think of. You got your procedure coming up." He said, "I want to pray for you." That's the how. And the why, when we talked to him this morning, I was in the Sunday school class and we made a phone call, speaker phone call to him. This guy's in, and the doctors are telling us, you know, he's in not very good shape. He's got a long, hard road ahead of him. But you would not know it talking to him. That's his how. And his how is because of his why. How we worship, how we serve, how we reach out. Everything that we do will be done with a passion and with a fire and with a sincerity of heart. What we do matters. But what we do may just matter more. And again, our how will be affected by our why. And our why is found in our identity of Christ. When we remember who we are, we are able to act on who we are. When we remember who we are, then we'll be able to act on who we are. And who we are has been blessed. We're blessed by God. We're given gifts and skills and whatnot. And we will put those to use for His glory when we understand why or who we are in Him. We're able to fulfill our destiny in Christ and not waste time and effort on the wrong things or in a manner that doesn't really matter anyway. I was remember at a former church we were in, and a guy was he faithfully gives out Bibles. Faithfully gives out Bibles. And he was telling us, I was a deacon there, and he was telling, the deacon said, "You know, I gave out Bibles." And he said, "You know, I gave a Bible to a guy." I said, "Oh, just read it, it'll change your life." True, yes. But there's a difference in going, "Yeah, y'all here, y'all take this, it'll change your life, read it." There's a difference in than that and then saying, "Dude, I gotta show you something. I gotta show you something. This will change your life. Change my life. Matter of fact, let me tell you how it changed my life. Tell them how it changed your life." And say, "And here's why that happened. Because look what God did here." Is there a difference in those two things? It's not just because one has more in it. It's because there's something behind it. There's a belief. There's a passion. There's a fire. Our true identity is a fantastic identity, folks. We have to understand that. We're not just some poor, pitiful me, you know, who's just stuck down here until Jesus comes and then I get to live. You are an instrument. You're a tool. You are a prized possession of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the beginning and the end, and everything in the middle. And He loves you. You are precious to him. How precious? So precious that he gave his life for you. Just you. If it were only you, he would have done it. Our invitation from Christ is to always remember our true identity and then to act upon that identity. That's our why. And why fuels our how. Ultimately, Christ's church is beautiful because it reflects Christ's glory. People really don't need to see us. They really don't. You and I aren't going to impact their eternity. What they need to see is Jesus. They need to come into contact with the one who can save them, the one who can empower them, the one that can sustain them. And I will tell you that your church, this church, will be no more involved than you're involved. She will be no more devoted than you are devoted. No more genuine than you are genuine. No more passionate than you are passionate. Why? Because you are the church. The church is not this building. We say, let's go to church. We mean, let's go to the location. Let's have church. Let's go through the things that we do at church. Folks, you are the church. You are the church. Christ's church. It's the Scripture calls the church the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Until we really and truly understand who we are in Christ, we will never be all that Christ has intended for us to be. You know, there's an old saying in business or in sports that, and it goes something like this, you got to fake it till you make it. Anybody ever heard that? You just fake it till you make it. You just go through the motions. You just keep going. You keep going. And one of these days, you're going to get it. You're going to accomplish it. Folks, that does not work in a relationship with the Father. You cannot fake it till you make it. You can fake it and fake it and fake it, and you will never make it until you become real and genuine and come to the altar and say, I cannot do it. I need you. And then Jesus says, that's all I was waiting for. Now, let's get up and let's go do some stuff. And when he says, let's go do some stuff, folks, that's more than coming on Sunday morning and singing a happy song. That's living a life that honors him and brings him glory. And that is becomes your how. How you live your life? Because of your why. And your why comes from Jesus Christ. You may be here this morning and you've never taken that first step towards Christ, the one that he intended you to take and to become what he intended you to be. You've never trusted him as your Savior and surrendered your life to his plans. Someone else may be here and has forgotten who his or her identity truly is in Christ because you've forgotten who you are. And it gives you little reason to let your how change because of your why. Does it matter? Does it matter? Does it really matter? Well, it matters to God. It matters to God. It matters to your co-worker. It matters to your family. It matters to your spouse. And you may never know who's watching. But I guarantee you this, they're taking note of how you do everything. If we are living on mission to introduce people to Jesus, shouldn't how we do everything be done in a way that brings glory to God? One of the greatest criticisms of the church is it's just filled with a bunch of hypocrites. They say one thing and they do another. It's time to give the church her true identity. Let me rephrase that. True identity's already been given. Sometimes we just don't take it and wear it as a name badge. It's time for us to become the true identity of what Christ intended the church to be. And that is not someone who says one thing and does another. That's someone who talks and speaks the Word of God, believes it so much that it affects everything we do. That's who we've been designed to become. Everything. One of my most favorite passages of Scripture. Matter of fact, a very good friend of mine gave me one of those Yeti-type cups, you know, and asked me what my favorite verse was. This is what I told him, and he had it made with this Scripture on it. And it's 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do. You mean how I interact with my family at home? Everything. You mean how I do my job at work? Everything. You mean how I sing to praises to my God? Everything. You mean how I talk to my neighbor? How I behave when nobody else is around? Everything. Nothing's left out. Everything. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now, it may have sounded like I was encouraging you to not sing. I'm not doing that. I'm not telling you don't sing. I'm just saying, understand why you're singing what you're singing. And I believe that when we understand why we're singing what we're singing a little differently. When you understand why you live the life that God's called you to live, you'll begin to live it a little differently. When you understand why God has put you two together to build a home and a family, you begin to build a home and a family a little bit better. When God's called, everything. And it's all because of who we are. And who we are, there's no more prized possession by God the Father than us. He didn't give His only begotten Son to save rocks. I believe dogs are good. He didn't give His only begotten Son to save dogs for all of eternity. I'm not getting into the debate whether dogs are in heaven or not, okay? Don't misunderstand me. But He gave His one and only begotten Son so that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord. That's not one scripture, that's a combo statement. He gave it for us. He gave Jesus Christ for you and for me. That is special. You are special. Some of you've never heard that. Some of you've never been told you're special, that you're important. Folks, you are so prized and so special and so important to God. You just got to believe that. You got to accept that badge of honor and that identity. And then when you do, you got to live like it too. Who we are will affect what we do. And more than that, it'll affect how we do it. How's the old saying go? A job worth doing is a job worth doing right. Folks, if Christianity is worth doing, isn't it worth doing right? And the right way is all the way. It's the only way. It's the only way. I'm not sure. Like I said, I'm not sure. Yeah, I know. I know you. I see a brand new face this morning that I don't know. I can't honestly say that I have, you know, that I know everybody has got all their stuff. Their situation secured with Christ. I don't know that. That's not my business. It's between you and God. But if it's not taken care of, if you've not surrendered all to Jesus Christ and say, it's all about you for the rest of my life, it's all about you. Everything to the honor and glory of God the Father. If you've not done that, oh folks, today's your day. Don't let 2016 run out before you give your life to Jesus. Now, it may be, like I said, it may be that you've just kind of forgotten who you are. Christ is calling you back today. It says, I'm reminding you, you're mine. You're special. You're loved. You are important. whatever your need is today, I'm going to be standing here in the front. And I would invite you to come to the altar. I would invite you to come and I would love to pray with you. Whatever your need is, this is your time. But folks, today's the day. Today's the day when we say, no more playing around. No more faking it until I don't even get to make it. I'm tired of faking it anyway. I just want to be real and genuine. Today's your day. Father in heaven, help us. Lord, you have called us. You have set us apart. You have clothed us with robes of righteousness. Father, may we give you all of me. May we give you all of who we are. And may that very act of giving ourselves to you affect everything we do. Everything. May we eat cereal tomorrow morning in a whole new way, with a better passion. Whatever it is, Father, everything affect our everything because we understand who we truly are. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? We're going to sing a song.